This morning, God's Word comes to us from Leviticus chapter 24. In Leviticus 24, we're going to read the verses 10 through 16, and then also verse 23. Leviticus 24, beginning at verse 10. What we hear now is God's Word. Now, an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Israel. And the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. Then they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shemalith, the daughter of Divri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in custody till the will of the Lord should be clear to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him. The sojourner as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death." And then verse 23. So Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and they brought out of the camp the one who had cursed, and stoned him with stones. Thus the people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 50 in the back section. Page 50, this is Lord's Day 36 of the Heidelberg Catechism. This morning I will read the questions and ask you to respond with the answers. From page 50 in the back of the Psalter, Lord's Day 36, question 99. What is God's will for us in the third commandment?
That we neither
Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and to forbid it? Well, this morning we continue our study of the law of God as we work our way through the Lord's days in the Heidelberg Catechism that explain the law of God to us. It's easy for us to get a rather narrow view of the law, that these things are very closely construed. But the Catechism helps us to see that the law is much broader than perhaps we might initially think. We have talked about the first two commandments and how they relate to God, and particularly how they relate to worship. The first commandment tells us whom we are to worship. We are to have no other gods but the one true God. The second commandment tells us how we are to worship, and that we are to have no images other than the God-appointed symbols He has given to us. We talked about last week with that and the bread and the wine. This morning, we come to the third commandment, not taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. And I think it's easy for us in the hierarchy of the commands to not make this one quite so serious. I mean, it's certainly not as serious as killing someone. It's certainly not as serious as committing adultery or stealing or lying. This is just using God's name in a casual way. But as we look at the story recorded for us in Leviticus 24, and we look deeper into the law of God, we see how serious it is that we take God's name seriously, because He takes it seriously. The care for God's name is rooted in God's holiness. Because He is a holy God, because He is a righteous God, He is to be cared for. His name is to be cared for. We may not take it casually on our lips. And children, that's what vain means, to do something without thinking. You know, when I walk from the pulpit to the chair, I do that without thinking. It's kind of an empty motion. It just gets me there, okay? It's nothing I really concentrate on. That's what we mean to take God's name in vain. To use it without thinking. To use it casually. To use it without proper recognition of the holiness of the God that we are naming. We look at the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Not only what is prohibited in this command, but also what is required of us as the people of God. Well, certainly what is prohibited in the command is what we would call blatant blasphemy. And that's what happens in the story this morning. An Israelite woman's son has a father who is an Egyptian. And this one gets into an argument or a fight of some kind with another man of Israel. And during the course of this fight, the Israelite woman's son blasphemes the name of God. Takes God's name on his lips in a vain, in a light, in a callous way. In the heat of the argument, he takes the name of God in vain. And what I find so interesting is that the people didn't know what to do. God had given His law. He had told them not to take His name in vain. But it was so unthinkable that anyone would actually do this. God had never given a penalty for breaking that law. They hear the name of their God taken and the curse, and they are stunned. They are shocked, and they don't know what to do. God had given some penalties in the law. He had given a penalty for what to do if a child defames their father's name. But this was so unthinkable that someone would take the name of God in vain, that He had not yet prescribed the penalty for it. They have to go to Moses and to find out, what do we do? What do we do? This man has taken the name of God on his lips in a vain way. He has cursed. And they put the man in custody until the will of the Lord should be made clear to them. This is the first time in Scripture that we have a record of someone taking God's name in vain. And so they go to Moses. And they ask him, what should we do? What does God require in this circumstance? Verse 13, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Let all the congregation stone him. He was to be put to death. Now, we may take hearing God's name used in vain, sometimes lightly. Maybe we're at a sporting event, or we're at a movie sometime, and we hear the name taken, and it jars us a little bit. But again, we say, well, you know, it's not one of those really, really big sins. God takes His name very, very seriously. And for someone who would take His name on their lips in a vain, empty way to curse someone else, God says the penalty is death. Now maybe you work with folks who are Christians. That's a wonderful thing. But maybe you don't. Maybe you work in a context where the name of God is taken in vain rather frequently. Maybe in your dorm, maybe in the hall you live in, maybe in the classroom. And yet God is terribly concerned about blatant blasphemy, about taking his name in a vain, empty way, taking it as a curse on one's lips. And so God requires the death penalty for anyone who would do that. He is to be taken outside the camp, removed from the people. And outside, he is to be stoned by the people who heard the offense. And you say, well, I have better control over my tongue than that. I know that I would not take God's name in a vain way, even in the heat of an argument. Even if I was arguing with a friend or a co-worker or an enemy, I would not take God's name on my lips in a vain way. You know, I've really got this third commandment pretty much locked up because I don't use God's name in that way. Well, it's true that we are to be very careful about the way that we use God's name, particularly in the heat of an argument. But we're talking about the vain use of God's name. Where, children, do we take God's name on our lips probably most? And I would say it's probably in church. We have sung song after song today that take God's name on our lips. Are we perhaps today in danger of using God's name in a vain, empty way? And you say, well, how can that be? We're in church. The third commandment deals not simply with the name that we take on our lips, but the heart behind that name. As we sing our songs of praise to God, are we truly engaged with that song? Or is it simply going through the motions? I'm singing the song, my lips are moving, my mind is 1,000 miles away. That's taking God's name in vain. We have just sung, the Holy One is He. Did we mean that? Jehovah, God's name, reigns in majesty. Are we engaged as we sing the songs of Zion? Are we engaged as we come to worship, really singing from our hearts? It doesn't really matter so much what the sound coming out is, whether it's a beautiful sound or a not beautiful sound. Our singing comes from within. And God's name is honored in our heart. And as we sing the songs, we are careful, we are mindful, we are concerned. We are not taking His name in a vain, empty way. I sometimes think that for believers, the most difficult place to keep God's name holy is in worship. Satan wants so much to pull our thoughts, to pull our minds, to take us somewhere else, that we go through all the motions, that we can sing the songs, that we can turn to number whatever in the Psalter and mouth all the words. But we're thinking about sports, we're thinking about school, we're thinking about work, we're thinking about our family, we're thinking about anything but what we're singing right then. That is to take God's name in vain. To use it in a vain and empty way. When we as a congregation join together in prayer, and I know that prayer in the worship service is one of the most difficult times for the parishioners. It's very hard to be engaged in that prayer. But not to do so, not to be engaged, not to be focused, not to be working with all our strength to pray along with the pastor, is to take God's name in vain. Because we pray, how do we pray, children? In Jesus' name. It is through Him that we bring our prayers to the Father. And so it may take work when we come to worship. I think we sometimes get the idea that worship as a parishioner is a passive activity. It is certainly not. It is a very active activity. As we sing the songs, as we engage our hearts and our minds in prayer together, lest God's name be taken in vain. When the Word of God is preached,
Are we diligently listening to know more about this God that we name? Are we diligently careful to hear what the message from God is for that particular morning or that particular evening, that we might be able to honor His name more fully with our lives in the week to come? Or do we take God's name in vain and simply turn our minds in neutral as the sermon begins, and then wait for so many minutes, then finally at the end we know we're done by then? The vain use of God's name, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God. God calls us to actively be engaged in worship. I said that these first four commands all deal with worship, who we are to worship. The second commandment, how we are to worship with regard to the externals. The third commandment, how we are to worship with regard to the internals, with regard to our hearts. Because no one knows, except for you and God, if you're taking His name in vain this morning. The elders can't see it. You may be standing, you may be singing fully, voice going, but perhaps your mind is 1,000 miles away. Only you and God know if you are taking His name in vain today. And so God calls you to be actively engaged in worship, actively engaged in the singing of the songs, in the praying of the prayers, even in the hearing of the preaching of the Word, lest His name be taken in vain. We might neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God, nor, our confession says, share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. You know, it would have been easy for the people of Israel who heard this to say, well, at least it wasn't me. You know, I heard it, I was there, but I had nothing to do with it. And I'm just gonna not say anything. I'm gonna ignore what took place. Because obviously it's a bad thing that this man took God's name on his lips, but I don't want to have anything to do with it. And they could have been silent about the whole thing. But they didn't. They recognized it was an offense against God, it was a breaking of the law, and so went to find out, what should we do about this? And those who heard were involved in removing the offense from Israel. Notice verse 14. Bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Now, why do that? They were to lay hands on the head of the one who actually cursed because they had heard it. And this would be symbolically transferring their sin of even hearing that offense, transferring that sin onto the one who actually offended God. Even though they hadn't cursed, they were involved in the cleansing. They were involved in removal of the sin. And beyond that, let those who heard lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. The people of God were actively involved in the removal of the offense. No silence. No silent bystanders. No saying, well, it wasn't me, it was him, so it's okay. No, they actively spoke up for the sake of God's name. They actively spoke up to defend God's name, and at the command of God, took up stones to remove the offense from the midst of the people. No neutrality was allowed with regard to this command. As long as they didn't do it, they were fine. No, we may not share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. I wonder how many times today, how many times in the week to come, how many times when we hear God's name taken in vain, Don't we share in that sin?
Oh, we haven't done it. We haven't taken God's name on our lips.
But we heard it and said nothing about it. That is to share in the sin by silence. By not speaking up for the name of God. By not actively removing the offense. By not opening our mouths to say, please don't use the name of my God in that way.
You might be surprised for people who have never been in the church, who have never had a religious upbringing, they truly do use God's name in a vain way. They don't even think of it in terms of deity. When you say, don't use my God's name in that way, what do you mean you're God? It's just an expression I use. And that becomes the opportunity then for us to tell them about God. No, it's not just an expression. No, it's not just a figure of speech. But you are taking the name of the God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, on your lips.
Do we care enough about the name of God to speak up to remove the offense? Do we care enough about those who truly in a vain, empty way use that name to tell them the truth? To tell them who this God is? We may not share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders, by neglecting to open our mouth and tell them the truth about God. And that's really where our confession takes us. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, that we may properly confess Him, pray to Him, and praise Him in everything we do and say. Simply not doing anything is not avoiding the third commandment of using God's name in a vain way. We are called to actively use God's name in a way that is proper, in a way that is appropriate, in a way that declares who He is, declares the glories of this God, declares the glories of salvation. When someone uses God's name in a vain way and we speak to them about that, we don't stop with the God of creation. We talk about the God who came to send His Son, who would take away our sins, who would wash us from the offense against the third commandment. Because God commanded the death penalty for it. He commanded eternal hell for it. And yet He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who could wash away even this sin, even this offense, even this blasphemy. And we tell them, we proclaim, we publicly declare the glories of Jesus Christ. The one who came and lived a life of suffering. The one who was put on trial. On trial for what, children? On trial for blasphemy. He was charged with misusing the name of God. And yet He bore that sin as well. When He went to the cross, He took all the sins, all the offenses, every offense against the law of God. And though He remained silent when He was cursed, He remained silent that we could speak openly. That we might not fear to open our mouths in defense of God, in defense of Jesus Christ. That He took the punishment, that He took the pain, that He took all the curse, that we might have the blessing to properly confess God, to pray to God, and to praise Him in everything we do and in everything we say. In everything we do and in everything we say. Our confession reminds us at the very end here that it is not only our words that can take God's name in vain. It is our actions.
Perhaps with our mouths we never take God's name in a vain and empty way. Perhaps we do speak up for the honor of God's name. We'd never be silent when we heard the name used. But do our actions fit our confession? We are given the name Christian. Christ's title is put on us. We must praise God in everything we do and say. May we not take God's name in vain by our actions. People know we are believers. They know we are Christians, or at least they should. And how then do our actions play into that? Do our actions belie the confession that we make? That we love God above all with heart and soul and mind and strength? Or do they take God's name in vain? If your co-workers, if your neighbors know that you are believers, that should make a difference. Young people, that should make a difference for you. If your classmates know that you belong to a Christian church, then your life has to fit that confession. Your life has to fit that honoring of God, not only in what you say, but also in what you do. That the way that we live not bring dishonor to the holy name of God. We publicly declare God's name, not only in what we say, but also in what we do. How careful we have to be to live in a way that our walk fits with our talk. That we demonstrate by the way that we live, that we recognize the gift of God and His Son, Christ Jesus, and the thanksgiving we have for Him. That our lives are given over wholly, totally, to living in a way that pleases God. That honors His name, that brings glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. God gave His Son that we might know the glory of salvation. We've heard the name of God. We've heard the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. May God help us to be careful in our lives, to not take the third commandment lightly or casually. Oh, we never misuse God's name. But to be aware of the sinful silence that is so powerful at times, lest we speak up for God's name. And to be aware that everything we say and everything we do reflects upon the God who has given us His name. Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we thank You for Your law that instructs us. We would so easily see a narrow understanding of the law and let ourselves off the hook. And yet Your law affects so much more. It affects all that we say. It affects what we don't say when we're silent. It affects what we do. Lord God, left to ourselves, we know we would fall. And yet so we pray that Your Holy Spirit today and in the week to come might enliven our hearts, that the confession we make with our mouth might be lived with our lives, that it might be clear to all around that we know Jesus Christ, that we love Jesus Christ, that His name is precious to us. And if we are tempted to fall into silence, Lord, by Your Spirit, give us the strength to speak for You, to actively remove any offense against Your majesty and Your holiness. Hear our prayer, we pray, in Jesus' name.